From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Coming up in a few moments, aliens invade New Jersey, or not. Thinking before you tweet about sensational science stories. But first, did you know nearly a quarter of all mammal species on Earth are bats? It's true. WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper spoke with Dr. Merlin Tuttle. He's a bat expert and founder of Bat Conservation International. Tuttle first began studying bats back in high school when he discovered a colony of gray bats near his home just outside Knoxville.
I became really fascinated by bats in the fifth grade at school when a mammalologist showed up and talked to our class about collecting small mammals in the jungle in Guatemala, and I thought, oh my God, people actually get paid to go have fun adventures like that. I want to be a mammalologist. And so I was interested in small mammals from that time on, but I really got my first big experience with bats when I lived within a mile or two of a bat cave here just outside of Knoxville.
What was it about the bats that was so attractive to you?
Bats, even today, are virtually unknown relative to what there is to find out. Worldwide, we're still describing new species of bats every year. When I first started studying bats back in the late 50s, early 60s, there were no more than about 800 species known, and now there are 1,300 species known. Out of all the 1,300 species that we've described, probably 95% haven't been seriously studied. And just in the last several years, it's been discovered that even our small insect-eating bats have highly sophisticated social systems, very similar to those of higher primates. They share information, adopt orphans, maintain long-term social connections.
Are they difficult to study? Why is it that not more is known about them?
Bats are difficult to study. They're nocturnal animals. They're moving over long distances and doing it very rapidly. Modern technology is helping a lot. We have a lot less expensive night viewing equipment, better night viewing equipment now. We have better tracking methods. For example, using barcoding, we can identify insect fragments from their feces down to species that could not be done before. So in the past, we could say, okay, this bat eats insects, and it seems to eat a lot of beetles or moths, but we didn't know exactly what it was eating. Now we can home in on exactly what they're eating. And as we do that, we're finding that they're hugely important to American agriculture. And we're probably far from the real numbers yet. Bats are probably saving American farmers more than $22 billion a summer in avoided pesticide use. And that's just one of the more recent of many such discoveries. Talk about diverge. Bats are doing a lot more things than we've yet recognized. I would strongly encourage students, if you want a really exciting frontier that's just now being really opened up, you can't do better than studying bats.
An astronomer once told me the internet has contributed more to the spread of information than any other medium in human history. But he immediately followed that up by telling me the internet has also contributed to the spread of misinformation more than any other medium in history. What's true for breaking news stories is also true for science. Seeing it on Twitter does not necessarily make it so. To help us understand a little more about sorting through science on the web, I've brought in Danae D'Arcy. She studies the way people use social media. And Danae, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Brandon, thank you for having me. This is exciting to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Social media sites like Twitter and Facebook, they're a lot of fun, but they're not known for comprehensive analysis. So it seems like the goal, especially for some websites, is something that we call clickbait. That's just you throw a provocative headline out there just to get people to click on it. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the idea, of course, is to get viewers. So this is to get clicks and then going ahead and passing it on or sharing it, retweeting it, posting it to a wall, and just getting that information and content moving forward as quickly as possible.
Which doesn't necessarily mean the information that's being shared is valid. So how do we as consumers, the tweeters and Facebookers, how do we sort out some of the bad science from the good? What kind of steps do we need to take just to do some thinking about that?
It is so easy to look at a tweet, which is only, 140 characters, mm-hmm. and may contain a link, and pass it on. But I would really suggest take a look at what you are sharing, because then, the responsibility comes down to you. So especially when it comes to stories on science, what I would recommend is clicking on the link first and notice any fine print. Is there maybe an organization that is funding the research? And while we would hope that doesn't skew any results scientifically, it certainly can have some type of effect. So know what you're passing on.
But there are some benefits of getting your science news from social media. It does put you a little more closely in touch with some of the researchers. In fact, there are some really prominent scientists like Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Adam Frank, who's heard on NPR, he's a physicist, that camp out on Twitter and Facebook just to interact with people. So actually, there are some legitimate sources of science data out there that you might be smart to follow.
Absolutely. And this is what excites me, I guess, about science being on social media and the opportunity to promote science through social media, is because this is a way to get it to people that may not see it other ways.
So it seems like the takeaway from all of this, Danae, is the same rule that we've been talking about really since the dawn of social media. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. If you see a link that says life discovered on Mars, do your homework before you hit retweet or you share it on your Facebook wall. Is that right?
Absolutely. And something else that you can think about, the idea when you look at something that might be framed as statistically significant, you have to find out, is it causal? A may show B, but A doesn't necessarily cause B, mm-hmm. which is an important, delineation to make when you think about science.
Danae D'Arcy, a former television reporter who today studies the way we use social media to spread information. Danae, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, you can count on this. That's The Method from WUOT News. You can listen to any previous installment of the program at our website, WUOT.org. Until next time, I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.